the project that I've been most involved with recently is this documentary film called Medora, and it's about a small town in rural Indiana, Medora, Indiana, and their high school basketball team that never wins. And I spent a year there filming kids and their families and the community, and it's going to come out this November. For anyone growing up in Kentucky or Indiana, you know, they know how much high school basketball is revered in these towns. They hadn't won in years when we arrived. Like a lot of towns, Medora, the population had dwindled as factories shut down, and they were playing big consolidated schools, 5 and 10 times their size. So it's really a film about life in small-town America, and also about, you know, a basketball team that's trying to win one single game.
What touched your heart about it?
Well, I grew up in Michigan, in Ann Arbor, a college town, but, you know, you drive 20 minutes any direction and you see towns like Medora, towns who had definitely had a golden past, but whose best times are behind them. And I know about some of the struggles and the challenges that people faced who live there. And I'm also a basketball junkie. I've played, I coached, I still play. So spending time with these kids, getting to know these people, it was really profound and really fascinating.
I sense that you feel that way about a lot of people that you come across.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if anyone has read My Heart is an Idiot, which is my book of personal essays, they'll see that, yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, as I've traveled around the country the last 10 years, I've met so many interesting people, and I tried to write about some of those stories in that book.
The one in particular that made me laugh, and I don't know if I've read the whole thing or just excerpts of it, maybe the whole thing about the scam you ran on your mother.
Well, my mom is deaf, and so as growing up as a kid, you know, with a deaf mom, I think kids will always find a way to take advantage of their parents and bend the rules, whatever it takes. So when your mom's deaf, we used to help her with the telephone, me and my brothers. You know, now she has an operator-assisted phone. She can make calls on her own. But at the time, that technology didn't exist, so she would rely on me and my brothers to translate for her as she made phone calls, and we'd tell her what the person on the other end of the line was saying. Well, if you get in trouble at school or something and the principal is calling your mom to tell her about the trouble you're in, you can imagine that a kid like me might mistranslate what the principal is saying and to our own benefit. So that story, Bigger and Deafer, it's actually the first essay in My Heart is an Idiot. It's about some of these ways that me and my brothers would take advantage of my mom. We're obviously really close. In fact, I've done a couple of This American Life pieces with my mom. One time we went to Brazil to visit this miracle healer, this guy named John of God, to see if we could get our hearing back. And there's people there from all over the world, people with cancer, people with AIDS, people in wheelchairs, all seeking healing. And it was a really intense trip I had with my mom. But, you know, I shared that story on the radio. There's some other fun stories I've shared about her on This American Life. But we're close, and she now knows about some of these tricks we played on her, and it's all right. But it is a pretty funny story.
Well, she depended on you for her business. Is she a spiritualist?
She channels an ancient spirit named Aaron, actually with a woman named Carla Ruckert. She's from Kentucky. Is one of her partners, teaching partners. My mom gives basically counseling to people over the phone. So in a way, it's not so different from what a regular psychologist might do or a regular therapist, but there's a spiritual aspect to it. And so over the phone, she'd be counseling people all around the country who were calling, you know, with various, sometimes serious problems. And I would be 8 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old, translating these calls to her. And of course, with those calls, I always translated what people were saying faithfully. It was only later when I'd get in trouble at school or something like that, and I didn't want her to know quite what the person on the other end of the line was saying. So I started to be a little more creative in my translations.
I saw the rap that your dad did and what you said about him to another interviewer, and it sounds to me like maybe your own interest and openness to a world of people stems from their openness.
Absolutely. Both of my parents are really cool. My mom, the fact that she does help people with their really serious problems and helps them navigate through them. I think I learned a lot about compassion and empathy through her. And then my dad is, you know, yeah, if you go to YouTube and you're looking at the My Heart is an Idiot videos on that website, I think it's myheartisanidiotbook.com. If you're on that website, there's a bunch of videos, and including one where my dad is rapping about one of his favorite essays in the book. He's a gregarious guy. He's one of those people who, you know, no one's a stranger to him. He talks to everybody. And I've probably inherited that gene as well.
So what does one expect from you at a reading for the Murray State MFA program?
Yeah, well, I'm really excited to come to Murray. I just call it an energetic reading, rowdy reading. I'm going to get up there with a stack of, I also make a magazine called Found Magazine. It's all notes and letters that people found on the ground, found on the street. Just, actual love letters, to-do lists, journal entries. People find the stuff, send it to me from all over the country, put it together into this magazine. It's really fascinating. These notes give you a glimpse into other people's private life. Of course, we change the names to keep them anonymous, but these notes are incredible. So I'm going to read a bunch of my favorite of the found notes. I'm going to share some pretty personal essays from this book, My Heart is an Idiot, and some essays that I've done for the radio show This American Life. And, of course, I love to meet people, too, so I look forward to getting to know some of the writers in the Murray State community and at some of the local community as well.
In looking over and meeting you and all of the sources available on you now online, I was struck by an article you did for NewYorkMag.com about the effect on relationships of internet porn. And it seemed to me that it was incredibly well-researched and a really important topic, but a really hard one to get at.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things that it's so prevalent, it's so common. I mean, it's hardly even taboo exactly anymore. And yet, I think about for kids these days, what would it be like to be a teenager now with this sort of easily... For us, me and my friends, we'd be out in the woods. If we'd be lucky if we found some page torn out of a Playboy magazine, And so kids growing up these days, young people, not that I'm so old myself, but I'm just saying, I think it's easy to be desensitized to these images. What I did is I talked to a bunch of people about their own experiences and how maybe this ready availability of this stuff has affected their own sex lives. People were very candid with me. They're very honest about some of the challenges they face now, having maybe viewed a little bit more porn than is really necessary. It's interesting. People, I find this when I went to visit Medora, Indiana. I found this on the road as I've traveled around the last 10 years around the country. And also when I was researching that article, people are very willing to open themselves to you in a really profound way when you approach them with sensitivity and kindness and genuine curiosity.
Yeah, and you seem to take your writing very seriously, even while your persona is sort of pop.
The persona is what?
I think of it as pop.
I got you. I know what you're saying, because the stories, these are true life essays in My Heart is an Idiot. These are, I figured, I've been publishing other people's most private thoughts for the last 10 years in Found Magazine. It was only fair for me to open myself up in the same kind of way, put it all on the line, write these very personal stories. Many of them are about love and relationships, my own misadventures in that arena. A lot of them are about interesting people I've met in my travels, people who have inspired me, people who have transformed me in some way or another. But yeah, I love writing. I take it seriously. I've been writing pretty hardcore for 20 years. I'm 38, so, maybe longer than 20 years. But at the same time, I try not to take anything too seriously. I like to have fun. I like to get out there and look for adventure.
Do you have aspirations for a definite future, or is it play it as it lays?
I've really gotten into filmmaking. This documentary, this movie Medora, it was just so fascinating to me. I have ideas for other documentary films I want to work on. I have ideas for narrative films that I'd like to make. But writing is where most of my experience lies. So, if I can keep writing, learning more about film and making more films, keep making Found Magazine, keep exploring the world in those ways, I'll be happy.
You've made a slew of incredible connections in terms of PR. How do you do that?
I think, honestly, I've been very lucky. People have responded in a way I never imagined to a project like Found Magazine, for example. And that was just a little zine I made in my apartment in Chicago, put together with scissors and tape. I'm working on a new issue right now in my apartment. I live in Los Angeles now, but I still make it with scissors and tape. And it's just a humble, small project made in my basement in Michigan, made in my apartment here. But it really seems to resonate with people. And so that's one way where I've reached a lot of people, and I think it's brought some really interesting people and some of the people that are my favorite artists, writers, musicians, you know, into my life because they've reached out, they love Found, they got in touch. So that's been cool. And then whether it was stuff from This American Life or just even just randomly on a plane or on a train or at a bar, I've met some other fantastic people. So I don't think of myself as much of a networker, but as much as just open to everybody. And when you're open to everybody, good people come into your life.
How do you monetize this?
Oh, I don't, really. My goal has always been to do stuff that interests me and to, yeah, just do the stuff that most interests me and try to find some way to stay afloat while doing that stuff. So I have a day job. It's not a regular 9-to-5, but I write freelance for magazines. But that helps keep other projects, whether it's Found Magazine, writing, documentary film, helps keep everything afloat. The hope is that one day, as those projects grow and, you know, I can do larger projects and there'd be room in there for me to get paid more. You know, all my clothes come from thrift stores. I don't spend money on really anything except for, like, eating out, maybe going to the movies every once in a while. So I'm able to do a lot of really awesome things without spending a lot of money.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Definitely. It's really fun, and I'm really looking forward to being at Murray State this Wednesday night and meeting a lot of great people.
Good.